Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Up here.
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hello?
All right, welcome back to our show. We're down a man today. Big Suk is vacationing out, hopefully socially distant vacation, out at Pacific City.
He has been the one out of the three of us who has left most often since COVID has started.
Has he?
Yeah, he went to Bend. He went down to Bandon. Now he's in Pacific City.
Yeah, he has, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Well, he'll be back on Monday. That's old Mike Lynch right over there, old Reliable.
Hello.
So here's some texts. We're going to read some texts here, and then in our next segment, we're going to get to the hot sports food survey.
Do we have answers to some of our pressing delivery questions?
Yeah, definitely. Good. Yeah, we've got a lot of delivery bros that listen to us because, you know, they're in the car all day and, you know, or I mean the, you know, the trucks and stuff. But first, a couple of bits of baseball feedback regarding our Manfred conversation. So if there ends up not being baseball in 2020 due to coronavirus and no baseball in 2022, what will baseball look like after that? Great question.
Wow.
Great freaking question. And it's so hard to answer that, but it ain't going to be good, man.
It means I'm going to miss multiple years of Gerrit Cole as a Yankee. That's what it's going to be. Selfishly.
He's going to be cashing all those checks.
Yeah.
Gerrit Cole makes so much damn money.
Yeah, he does.
I think you bring back steroids. I think you bring back Bud Selig and you throw a needle in everyone's ass and let's hit some home runs. Let's get this game going again.
That's how it fixed it the first time, right?
Yeah. I don't know. It's a great question. I have no idea what it will do to the sport. No idea. But
I feel like that might feel like it would be more extreme than it actually would be. I think they would just work on a deal and it would come back as baseball as usual for the most part. I mean, what are they going to be fighting about? Money, right? Not necessarily changing the sport. So it'll come back. It just might not have as many fans who are tired of waiting for multiple years to not have a sport.
Do, 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 do. All right, now to the pressing matters.
Deliveries.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by it, by the whole system. You think about like the last 10, 15 years and how our consuming has changed in this way, you know, with these guys, these Amazon delivery guys. Maybe Amazon is buying up, like this is actually a problem from what I hear from small businesses, where Amazon just buys up space because they just want a freaking warehouse of goods on every corner.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard for businesses to compete for these spaces that they want for their business against freaking Amazon. It's just like taking over. But then you got UPS and FedEx and you got the mail. They're all out there working their ass off. Now, somebody said, because we were asking how efficient it is, because it doesn't seem all that efficient. They're great. They get you your stuff quick and you don't know any different. But it is interesting when they drive by your house and you're like, oh, my package is here. And then you're like, wait, but, and then they leave and they come back 5 hours later with your package. And somebody said, It used to be efficient, but UPS paid for a program called Orion that is supposed to be better, but it sucks. It has your delivery a house away, and then they come back 50 stops later for the house next door. That's from P1 Sean.
But why?
I don't know.
So like, how is it supposed to be better than I suppose, right?
No idea.
I'm not Mr. Efficient over here. I don't know what efficiency looks like in deliveries. But to me, if you're at the house next to me, you might as well just put my package down too.
Here's one that says, one crazy thing about those routes is that they'll sometimes take only right turns because it's more efficient than going left and waiting for traffic.
I have heard that.
I've heard that too.
I have heard that, yeah. Especially when you get into like more major cities. Yeah, just right turns only.
Good thing Rob Manfred isn't the commissioner of delivery trucks.
That is true. Yeah. What would he be saying now?
Yeah, here's another one about the right turns. How about that?
I'm assuming that's probably also safer for the trucks. Is it easier just to make a quick right instead of having to cross traffic?
Right.
Yeah.
And they save, you know, fuel costs, I would imagine. I bet you that's a lot of it. When we don't even think about that, but they got to save fuel. But it does seem like you're saving fuel. If you've got a package in the back of your truck that's for my next door neighbor and me, and you separate them by 5 hours, that can't be fuel efficient.
The other question I have is, I've never seen a delivery truck at a gas station. Have you?
No. No. They don't get gas.
So what's their fuel?
Well, they probably gas up at the shop.
The tiers?
Yeah. They probably get good deals on gas. You know, that's a big...
Okay, so they gas up at the shop.
Yeah.
Is their truck...
I don't know.
...have good enough mileage...
UPS guys,
...or a big enough tank to last their entire route, or do you have to go back and gas up a couple of times?
I bet it does.
Because those trucks probably don't have great miles to the gallon.
I drive for Amazon, and it gives you a predetermined route, but I rarely follow what it says because the algorithm is stupid. All right. Good to know. Here's one that says, my route is all residential. I'm delivering 230 stops, 350 packages every day. Before all of this, it was only about 170 stops and 250 packages. Now it's 10 to 14 hours a day.
Wow.
And they don't get, somebody else was mentioning they don't get hazard pay. Come on, Bezos.
I will say I'm not surprised by that, but that's
you
unfortunate.
Douche. That guy's worth like $115 billion now.
Yeah, but see, that's his money.
Apparently,
so why is he going to help his own company?
UPS bought DHL, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I still haven't gotten an answer to that question of the efficiency. That one person, the P1 who texted in that it's not efficient, are you a UPS driver or just somebody who knows? UPS drivers, are your routes more efficient because of Orion? Best constellation in the sky.
And do you like that job?
Hashtag hot take.
14 hours? Yeah, that's...
That's a long day.
But it's not, I mean...
But you're just driving around and you're dropping off packages.
Cruising.
You don't have to deal with, you know, too many people, I imagine.
Somebody said, we are essential, but people are ordering mostly non-essential items. That, yeah, that's true. Like, if they're...
guilty.
It's one... Oh, totally guilty.
Ordered a float because I'm going to go floating this weekend.
It's one thing to be out there, you know, getting everybody their food and stuff. It's another to be out there getting everybody their floaties, you know.
Yeah.
And
I got myself a little tube. It's in the house now. It's nice.
Dude.
Totally not essential.
Boy, it's bananas. Yeah, it says they fill up at the pump on site of the warehouse.
Oh, okay.
And it usually does take, you know, a full tank. They're gone for the full day.
Wow. That's really good.
And they're diesels.
Now that's efficient.
They're diesels.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And I guarantee they have gas deals too.
How many warehouses are there in the area?
8 million.
Oh, wow. Okay. So there's one on every corner.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, okay, so if you're delivering in Beaverton, is there one warehouse like in Hillsborough that's all of Washington County? Or is there one per town?
I never know how they do it, but they always, like, you order something and they have it to you the next day. I'm like, that's just kick ass.
Yeah.
And then you go, well, could that have been faster? It's like, I don't even care it was so fast.
Could I have had that within an hour?
Right.
What about like if you're delivering in like Newburgh, right? Is there a facility down there or do you have to come down from Tualatin? How many facilities are there?
And how about those old USPS trucks, the old mail trucks?
Those haven't been changed forever.
No. When's the last time you saw a new one of those?
I don't think
guys.
I've ever seen a new one of those.
Sam the mailman's out there in a freaking old rickety... COVID
sweat box.
Sweat box. Gross. Yeah, and then those Amazon trucks aren't very nice either.
Well, they just get those like sprinters vans.
They just get the old crappy sprinter.
Usually they're just like completely unmarked, you know, free candy vans. I've seen some people delivering Amazon in their own car. I once had a Mercedes drop me an Amazon package. Oh. And I looked, because I was looking out the window, and his back seat was stuffed full of packages. And I was like, why in your Mercedes, sir? Shouldn't you get a truck that might get damaged and not damage your own car?
That'd be cool if you had, like, high-end, like, where they rolled up in a Rolls Royce or something and got out.
Here comes your Gucci bag.
White gloves on and delivered your package.
Maybe that's something that...
be kind of cool.
It's a great idea you just came up with. New delivery service.
Shall we get out of here? Let's get to some hot food talk. You guys want some food talk out here?
Yes.
Sports food is a survey, and we'll get to the results coming up next. Quite interesting. It's 4:13 on The Fan.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
You know, I'm not going to lie. That's the best piece of bumper music we've had in a long time on the show.
You love this from the start, which is very funny.
Every time. I'm bopping. Is that what they call it?
Sure.
Bopping.
That's what you call it.
What's up? All right, so...
That's pumping.
We're excited. So basically what we're learning is with the delivery guys, when... you see the inefficiencies in the way the delivery guy is going about dropping off his packages. It's on the driver to see those and notice those and then take them out of there. Like, we're hearing from a lot of drivers that are like, well, you look at your route and you look at your packages and a good driver will notice, oh, that house is right there. I'll just drop that one off real quick and then saving time.
Okay.
But sometimes they don't always catch it. And here, I wanted to read you this too. Here's a tweet. And this comes to us from Ethan, who tweeted both of us. And he said, my wife had a package that's seen some S. And it's from Old Navy. And it shows that, you know, it kind of shows the progression.
Step by step.
Yeah, step by step. So June 10th, order processed, ready for UPS. June 11th, origin scan in Middleburg Heights, Ohio. June 11th, an emergency situation or severe weather condition has delayed delivery.
I mean, I guess that's just generic for COVID, probably.
June 12th, civil demonstration has delayed your package in transit. Delivery will be rescheduled. Check back for updates.
All right, protest stopped it.
June 14th, departed Middleburg Heights, Ohio.
4 days after the processing time, okay.
Later that night, an emergency situation or severe weather condition has delayed your delivery. 4 days later, severe weather conditions have delayed delivery. And then June 18th, same day, a train derailment has delayed delivery. We're adjusting plans to deliver your package as quickly as possible.
Oh, my God.
I hope they ended up getting their Old Navy
train derailment.
How about that?
Well, yeah, that's right. He sent that June 18th, like 3 weeks ago. Oh. Has he gotten the package?
Say again? I lost my
headset. He said June 18th. That was 3 weeks ago. Did he get his package?
I don't know. I hope so.
The suspense.
That's essential. Old Navy.
Yeah. His wife needs her shirts. And or flip-flops or jeans.
Tell you what, you know what's great is those grocery deliveries. I'll never go back to anything else. Not that I grocery shop, my wife does it. But I tell you what, that is fantastic. You can shop at Freddy's and they'll have it at your house in an hour.
I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm not sure I want that. I haven't tried it, but...
it's great.
I'm very particular about like when I pick apples for myself, like what apple am I going to pick, right?
You're that guy.
Yeah, or like, you know, I checked for the better dates. Like if I go up to the lettuce and it's like, you know, those prepackaged little salad bags and it's like the one at the front, and it goes bad in 4 days. If you go four back, it's bad in a week. And you're like, oh, good, there you go.
What do you think? They are just picking the worst stuff for you and throwing it in there? They're looking out for you.
No, they're probably just grabbing the first thing on the shelf and putting it in there.
Nah, they look out for you, bro.
Okay.
All right, so this is from The Athletic. And we'll get to, by the way, In the News is coming up next. And today we have hot kitten rescue news. And it is, look, I'll just tell you right now, it ends in tragedy. A food and drink survey result from The Athletic. Okay, this is a sports food poll. They asked sportsers 22 questions in the survey. And I'm going to give you a few of them.
Okay.
See if you agree with the results. The first one is, how many wings can you eat on a football Saturday or Sunday? From 12 to 6 p.m. So I assume noon to 6.
Okay.
And then, of course, I mean, there's all kinds of numbers on here, but zero.
As many as it makes me to throw up.
One, oh, really?
I mean, I could. I wouldn't, but
Jesus,
I could.
Jesus, fat guy.
Yeah, that's still in there.
1 to 6, 7 to 11, 12 to 20, 21 to 36, or more than 36. God.
I would say in a 6-hour window, I would probably say 12 to 20.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the majority. 50% said 12 to 20.
It really is not that much if you think about it. Uh-huh. In terms of the size of the wings. You know, like,
okay. That's how you rationalize that?
Yeah.
I would say 7 to 11 for myself.
Okay.
Because
so you have one dozen, basically.
I'm an Adonis. I cannot do 12 to 20. Look at me.
Look at that dad bod.
50% said 12 to 20, and then next was 7 to 11 at 20%. And then 21 to 36, 17% of surveyors said they could eat 21 to 36 wings. God, in 6 hours. What is your preferred wing flavor? What do you think won here? 29%. So this is very split.
I'm just going to go ahead and assume buffalo.
Buffalo medium.
Oh, okay.
And then buffalo hot was right on its heels. And then now me, I'm weird. Parm garlic.
Oh, you like that?
Love parm garlic. Oh, my God.
I've never enjoyed that as much as the... It feels like it's more of like a dry rub, right? Than actually having a ton of sauce on there. I've never quite enjoyed that as much.
It's delicious. Do you prefer the drum... that's dumb. Do you prefer the drumstick or the wing?
That is kind of dumb.
That, yeah, everybody...
I don't really care, to be honest with you.
I don't care, but if I'm picking between two, of course I'm picking the drumstick. Yeah, it's easier to gnaw on.
Yeah. Unless you are perfect... Or you have perfected that method where like you break the top off and it's just like... Instantly, the whole wing is done.
Are you a guy that can get all the meat off of it? Like, I always see people that are like, oh my God, dude, there's nothing on that bone. That's inspiring.
I cannot do that.
I can't do that either. I always leave too much meat on there.
Yeah.
That's why I like boneless.
I am 1,000% with you on that. I know people just say, oh, it's just a chicken tender. So what? It's delightful.
Whatever. Yeah.
You still get chicken.
Why do you need the bone? You don't eat the bone.
Because it's supposed to give more flavor. Like, bone in ribeye is supposed to be more flavorful than bone out.
It gives the flavor blue cheese.
And ranch.
Okay, very important question. Do you dunk in blue cheese or ranch?
Yes.
Well, you have to pick one.
Oh, I prefer blue cheese.
Well, there is both on here, but
okay, so I'm going to pick both, but I'm going to pick blue cheese if I'm forced to pick one.
People are very divided here. Now, here's what's interesting about this question, and this is a very important result. Nobody said both. Like, both is on here, but it's just a very small sliver of the pie chart. There are three. There is definite blue cheese people, definite ranch people, and then there is another section that do not dunk their wings in anything.
Okay.
They're against that. So what do you think won?
I'm going to go ahead and say ranch probably won.
Blue cheese won, 38%. Really? Yes.
I've met so many people who just hate blue cheese, so I thought ranch would win. I mean, we're in America, right? Ranch is like the capital of our country.
I don't think so. I think blue cheese is making a comeback.
Well, that's good. I mean, I love blue cheese. It's the best.
Blue freaking cheese, man.
Delightful.
Blue cheese, 38%. Ranch, 29%. And then I don't dunk my wings in anything, 28%.
Wow. I'm telling you, I do both. Whenever I go, I usually go to Fire on the Mountain for my wings.
I do both, too.
I always get both. It's just good to vary it up. Plus, I like to mix the wing flavors. Like, I like to get the spicy Thai peanut thing that they have there, and then a hot, you know, just alternate.
I tell you, the wing game has come a long way, over the last, handful of years. It used to be, I don't know, I'm from Kansas, so kind of sheltered, but you'd go, it's just classic sports bar wings, right?
Yeah.
Now you got all these different flavors and all these different wing spots. It specializes in wings. It's great.
I love the flavor options. I do. I love going into any wing place, and when they give you the little sample, I guess it's probably going to go away now, but they have the little sample dippers, and you can just like test out the flavors so you know what you're getting. Mm. I love that.
Okay, what do you put on your stadium hot dog? And this is by condiment, mustard, ketchup, chopped onions, relish, jalapenos, mayo, sauerkraut, or nothing. What do you think?
Wait,
one?
I can't pick multiple?
No, this is like...
Because I tend to put three of those on normally.
Yeah, well, people do mix. But I think the point here is what's the most popular thing to put on?
Mm.
One thing.
Well...
So what do you think it is?
If I was forced to choose one thing to put on, I would pick mustard.
Mm-hmm. And that is what won. 73% said mustard.
But I am a ketchup on a hot dog guy. And I will put ketchup, hot dog, and onions on most of my hot dogs.
Do you think we're in the wrong for putting ketchup on our hot dogs? Because I feel like we might be.
I've been told that it's stupid to put ketchup on a hot dog, and I don't understand why.
Well, I don't. Hot take. I'm not a big ketchup guy.
Okay, that's fine. I've heard that before.
I'm also not a ketchup in the morning guy, and people, I know.
Well, I'm confused by why is that a hot take?
This Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because we were eating breakfast.
Ketchup on eggs is horrendous and you should never do it.
We were eating breakfast the other day in Central Oregon, and I made this comment to my buddies before we were going to golf, and I think it made them both go blue screen reboot. They were like, wait, what? In the morning, what does that mean? Well, hash browns. Like, there are some people that like to put the ketchup on the hash browns. I don't. Ketchup in the morning is weird. Ketchup goes on a burger. Like, that's not
a
morning.
Or you dip fries in it.
Yeah. It's not a morning food. Neither of those are morning foods.
Nope.
There's nothing to put ketchup on in the morning.
Although you could argue that fries are potatoes and hash browns are potatoes, and there you go.
But I can't do it. It's not a morning thing. And
they
were like, what? That they thought that was the weirdest take ever.
No, that's a totally normal take, and I agree with you 100%.
They're idiots.
My favorite thing to do with a breakfast plate is to get something that requires syrup, and then the syrup just gets on everything, and it's delightful.
Mm-hmm.
Syrup on eggs is good. Syrup on bacon is godly. Syrup on your hash browns is great.
Yeah, you just mix everything.
Well, I mean, if
just
it's
make
all
a scramble.
Well, you could do that too, but I'm thinking you get like a, what is it, like a big country plate or whatever you want to call it, the generic name at like Elmer's when you get the plate that has eggs and French toast and bacon and whatever. And you pour the syrup on the pancake and it slowly drifts over into the rest of the stuff. I just commit and pour the syrup over everything.
Interesting.
I'm like,
because you know it's going to bleed.
I'm like Buddy the Elf.
What about hot sauce in the morning? I'm all about it. Hot sauce can't get enough.
I love hot sauce.
I put hot sauce in my coffee.
Really?
Yeah.
Give you an extra perk?
Wait, okay, so we got to go. Mustard, 73%. Ketchup.
20-something percent?
52%.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, it's a split. It's America's divided.
How are they? By the way, that's not 100%. That's over 100%.
No, but yes, I think people can vote on.
Oh, you can vote on multiple ones,
I think so.
Okay.
It's just the most popular was mustard, 73%. Ketchup, 52%. Chopped onions next at 47%.
Yeah, of course.
Relish, 34%.
I don't like relish.
And then you get to sauerkraut at 19%, which I just, come on with the sauerkraut.
Sauerkraut's good.
Get out of here. Okay. It's dollar hot dog night. How many can you put away without making a mess? I'm eating three.
No, this is how many can you put away, not how many would you put away. What is the capacity of the Isaac Rob stomach for hot dogs?
Five.
Pre-vomit. You wouldn't vomit?
Maybe four.
Okay. I would probably say six for me.
Ooh. 13% said six. Majority here, three. 24%. Followed
by
four.
Hot dogs are the easiest thing to eat quickly. You take one bite. You take a big bite. You're like halfway done already.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh.
You can kill a hot dog in two bites.
Yes. So you can very easily have a large amount of that before the full trigger kicks in your stomach. So you could really just shovel those in for a while, and then it's like, oh, I'm full, and then you stop. It's like 20 minutes for you to start feeling full. How many hot dogs can you eat in 20 minutes? That's a better question.
Gross. Do you upgrade your soda at stadiums to get the souvenir cup?
No.
55% said no. I used to do that all the time. We had all those souvenir cups as kids. Loved that.
I used to keep the little ice cream helmets from baseball games, but beyond that.
Yeah, see, here, that's the next question. Have you ever grabbed a stranger's souvenir cup or Sunday helmet that they've left behind?
No.
60% said no.
Yeah, I'm not touching someone else's helmet.
We used to go up and down the aisles and just collect a bunch of them, take them home, and wash them and use them.
Imagine doing that now with COVID.
Well, there's that.
I'm just going to take this stranger's helmet that he ate ice cream out of and probably got spit in.
Do you tip the concessions counter workers?
Yes.
46% said no. Now, I'm guilty of not tipping them.
Now
but
with cards.
But I should.
I guess if you're paying with cash, it's different. But with cards, I mean, the tip line comes up. Yeah, give
because you
bucks.
Tip the vendor in the stand. You tip that guy.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you're paying cash usually.
You say, oh, I just keep the change. Yeah.
Yeah. What was the answer to that? 46% said no. Do you tip the vendor in the stands who sells the beer? 69% said yes. Would you trust ballpark sushi? Yes or no?
Actually,
no. That is a hard no.
No. Think about this. Let me lead you down my thought process.
Hard no.
We have come to a point in our stadium lives where most stadiums have gourmet food options available. Correct?
Yeah.
Nice restaurants. Sure. You know, they've got places that are in the city that have little spots that are in the stadium.
Okay.
Let's say it's a nice sushi place that has a spot in the stadium. Yeah, I'll have sushi from there.
I don't
there.
Think that's what they're saying.
I mean, I wouldn't get sushi from...
Ballpark dog, ballpark sushi.
No.
61% said
I'm not
no.
having supermarket sushi. I'm not having gas station sushi. No. but I think that's a little bit different now.
Have you ever bought, 61% said no, they would not trust ballpark sushi, nor should they. That number's low. Come on. Have you ever bought an athlete's branded food or drink? Yes or no? 73% say no. Some of the ones listed.
I was gonna say, I don't think I've ever had an option to do that.
Oh, sure you have. You just didn't know it. Edgar Martinez tequila, Scottie Pippen zippin' juice, Big Poppy hot sauce. Drew Bledsoe's wine.
I've not purchased it.
Let me tell you something. Drew Bledsoe's wine is fantastic. It really is. And Louis Oosthuizen makes wine too.
Really?
And it's great. Both great.
Bledsoe's out in Walla Walla, right? That's where his winery
is? Yeah.
Yeah. The answer is still no.
Just a couple more here. Then we got to get to in the news, guys. Ooh, why would they put that? Have you ever approached an athlete or coach for an autograph while he or she was eating?
Yes.
96% said no.
Yes.
Really? Who? Yeah.
Daryl Strawberry. Actually, my mom did it for me because I was too nervous to do it.
Did he throw a pancake at you?
No, he signed a piece of paper.
While he was eating?
Yeah.
Boy, they hate that. I remember Bo Jackson talking about that when I golfed with my buddy Bo Jackson. Did I tell you about that?
You did.
Have I ever told you that he and I are buddies and we golfed together once?
I think I've heard that twice. Maybe 4, 5, 6, 7 times.
Are you good at beer pong? Who cares?
Yes. And yes.
How are you good at beer pong? Don't you just hit the...
You hit more shots than other people.
Yeah, but there's like 8 million cups.
How hard is it? There's six cups.
Yeah, all right. What's the most you'll pay for a stadium 16-ounce draft beer? Ooh, this is good.
Ooh, $15.
And by the way, one option is I'll pretty much pay anything they ask for.
Oh, no. No, that's not true.
What'd you say? 16?
15. When I went up to Safeco 2 years ago, I'm pretty sure they had like Seattle Breweries beer in there, and it was up to $15 for those. And I think I paid it because I didn't want to have like Miller, you know. I wanted to actually have good beer.
36% say they'll pay pretty much anything they ask. You got them by the balls.
Yeah, you want beer when you're there.
That's right. But next was 18% said $10, and then it goes down from there.
Well, $10... I think you'd be hard-pressed to find $10 now at any stadium.
I agree. And the last question, again, this is from the Athletic Sports Food Survey. If your friend invited you over to watch the game and eat pizza, do you make sure you have a say in the toppings? Yes or no?
No. If he asks me, I'll give him my opinion, but I trust my friend to have a good pizza.
Now, see, I'm a yes guy. And I'm in the minority.
You just go, by the way, I'm only going to eat...
Here's what I would do.
...this bacon chicken ranch pizza, so if you don't get it, I'm not coming.
No. Totally opposite. What I would say is, look, here you got to be flexible with this. With pizza toppings, you got to be flexible. If you're not, you're a douche. But what you do is you say, here's what I can't do.
Olives.
Right. If you could please just do something without olives and mushrooms, I would appreciate it. If you did that, I'll eat any of it.
Or if you want to get half with olives for yourself and half without, that's
yeah, whatever.
Better.
Including the communist pineapple pizza, which I think is ridiculous that people put pineapple on pizza, but they do. I'll eat it. Whatever. So 59% say yes, they would make sure they have a say in the toppings. Oh, wait. No, sorry. 59% said no. 41% said yes. And there is hot sports food talk.
I also think that if you're hosting a football party, it is your responsibility to get the most acceptable pizza toppings for a large group. So,
yeah, we've talked about this before.
Yeah, like don't
get the stupid veggie.
If you like Hawaiian pizza, but you know most people are very split on it, don't get Hawaiian pizza for people coming over. Get yourself a pepperoni.
That's right.
Get yourself a sausage and onion. Get yourself regular cheese and be on your way.
That's right.
Yeah. Because guess what? Those are still good pizzas, even if you like Hawaiian.
That's gospel, bro. Right there.
Thank you.
All right, let's get to in the news. Got the latest on COVID here locally. Newsflash, it's not good. But I've got kitten rescue story talk, and it's not good either.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you see that this morning?
I was like, thanks for that headline, guys. Yeah. Really needed that this morning.
We'll get to that coming up next on In the News. But first, Mike has Sports Center.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
That's called hitting the post. So you hear how he did that? right there?
What?
Well, the lyrics were supposed to start. That's Kings of Leon.
Yes.
You know how you... Like, hey, 92.3 KGON, coming up, Journey, here's Queensryche. And then they start singing. It's called Hitting the Post.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Did you used to work in, like, the music side?
No, but I always wanted to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I grew up playing FM DJ in my room by myself.
Did you ever do any college radio of that sort?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's cool.
I did.
My dad did the same thing, too.
I loved it.
He kept all the tapes, too.
You know, there was once talk of Isaac and Souk just sliding right on over to that studio over there and doing a hot morning show on KGON.
Really?
Yeah. Many, many years ago.
I think that would have been really good.
Or terrible.
No, I think it probably would have been really good.
One of the two. I got to tell you, I like this because room to breathe.
Yes.
You know, you get time. Whereas over there.
You have like 2 minutes and then it's like, time to go.
Dance, monkey, dance.
You got to be funny in 2 minutes.
3 minutes, right. It's all kind of scripted. It's like, I like the free-flowing nature of
it is more freeing, yeah. There's also a structure with the sports stuff because, you know, you can go to Old Reliable and talk some sports. Whereas there, it's just kind of like weenie in the butt. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Fart sound, fart sound, fart sound.
I would hate to become a cliche, you know, but we probably would.
Meanwhile.
And then I'd get a
Isaac Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's July 2, 2020. Top of the news. I'm your noted newsman. Today is World Sports Journalist Day.
Okay.
Yeah.
That does not include us.
Shout out to World Sports Journalists.
Yeah.
And it is Made in the USA Day because, you know, Independence Day.
Is in 2 days?
What?
Today is not July 4th.
Well, I know, but you can't do Made in the USA Day on July 4th. You got to have your own day. So you got to wrap it around Independence Day.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
Do we not know how this works?
I'll accept that as an answer.
A perilous and tragic kitten rescue on the St. John's Bridge. This morning. It shut down traffic in both directions. If you were stuck in this, you were probably pretty pissed to find out that it was for a little kitten. I don't know. How would you feel about that? Like your morning commute gets, you know, derailed because they're trying to save a kitten?
I mean, I like cats a lot, as you know, so I would probably say...
You're okay with it?
I mean... If I was late to work, I'd be annoyed, but hey, try to save the kitten. I'd be more annoyed once I found out the truth of what happened.
It didn't end well. So authorities were called to the St. John's Bridge when passersby saw a woman climb over the edge and down the bridge.
Whoa.
Yeah. So you're probably thinking, oh my God, suicide, right?
Right, right.
So responders arrive and she was climbing back up and they helped her to safety. What she was trying to do was reach a kitten who had fallen down and was stranded.
Stranded where?
Well, on one of the lower... It's kind of hard to tell, but if you look at that bridge, there are...
Do they have nets?
I don't know if they have nets, but there are platforms and beams under the...
under the bridge?
The deck.
Yes. So, like, the things holding up the bridge.
So, it was down there. And that cat, I mean, how do you get out of there? Right?
At that point,
you're
dead.
You're either going in the water or you're just hanging out there for
until you are
your life.
Dead.
Until you're going in the water.
Yeah.
So they had to go get the cat. So they take one firefighter on either side of the bridge and they rappel down.
Okay.
And they both get on a beam where this cat is, and they hope to corral the cat in the middle. Basically, they're squeezing the cat into the middle. And then they can just grab it, which I'm sure is safe as the cat, like, tries to claw your eyes out.
I don't know. I think at that point, the cat's probably pretty scared, isn't it?
Well, that's the problem. Is they said they got pretty close to the kitten this way, but then it jumped.
Yeah, but my first thought was you're cornering it. You're not calling for it. You're not attracting it with a treat of some sort. Two unknown... Large, suited-up men are trying to center...
How do you know they were large?
Corner a cat, basically.
I mean, look...
Well, to the kitten, everyone's large.
Is there a... Well, that's true. Is there a handbook on this? Probably not.
No.
Like, there's no easy
way
to...
This isn't a tree that you're climbing up to save the kitten.
Yeah. Well, the cat leapt down into the water, and that's a big-ass bridge.
Yeah.
Way up there. But they said that they saw it swimming. They were like, oh, my God. Nine lives, you know the whole thing? So the cat was in the water. What?
I'm just making a nine lives joke over here.
That wasn't a joke. It's, you know, cats, that's a real thing.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah,
oh,
they have nine lives.
Okay, cool. Good to know.
So they see the cat swimming, and they go down to a boat ramp, and there's some fisher bros down there that take him out to pick up the cat out in the water.
Okay, cool.
And they pull the cat out of the water, and the cat, they try to resuscitate the cat, but the cat is dead.
Is it from the temperature? Or
RIP, little baby kitten.
RIP kitten.
I don't know.
Because if they said it was swimming.
Yeah, I don't know.
You'd think it'd be okay.
I don't know, dude. But look, it was harrowing, traumatizing, perilous, tragic, all in one.
Thank you, firemen, for trying to save the kitten.
Yeah, good try.
I and all cat lovers appreciate it.
Yeah, good try. By the way, the woman was not the cat's owner.
The woman was just a brave citizen.
That's right.
And cat lover herself, clearly.
And then she was like, whoa, I'm not going down there. She got back up.
That she climbed over the edge to try to... What?
Right. If you saw that, what would you do? I would immediately call the fire department.
Yes.
Right? Is that even an emergency call? That's probably just a non-emergency call, right?
I think you call the emergency because that's probably the quickest way to get a response, especially because the woman just climbed over the edge of a bridge. I think that would be pretty emergency feeling.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you're like having the thought process like, oh, look, she's just climbing to get something. Like, no, you're like, 911.
Well, they didn't know who the cat belonged to. And maybe it was just, you know, a feral cat or something, but it was a kitten. They said it was a kitten. So can you imagine waking up in the morning and reading about that and going, oh, that's probably my cat. I can't find my cat.
I don't think you would be quite as calm as you are about that, but yeah, that'd horrible. Be pretty horrible.
All right, let's get a COVID update, but we got to do it next. 448 on the fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, I got a PGA Tour update coming up, Hot 5 at 5. I know that's what you guys want. But running a little behind, so let's get back to in the
How
news.
How did you know?
Yeah, I got the... Oh, I know.
My deep love for...
DeChambeau's out there.
Golf. Although
That guy just stubbed a chip. That's what I do.
I did just admit this 2 weeks ago that I have found myself more interested in golf since it has returned than I was before.
Yeah, I tell you what, I think golf is doing well during COVID because, you know, it's a safe thing to do, generally speaking, compared to other things. Golf courses are packed right now. Everybody's out golfing and everybody can golf because
it's the only thing you can do.
That's right. Well, and they're not work, you know, they're not at work. It's like they can peel off and play some golf. And then golf is on TV and no other sports are. Golf is... I think golf is basically just going to become America's pastime. The new hot new sport.
I'm going to go ahead and say no, it won't.
Oh, by the way.
As much as you might believe it and want it to.
Kitten text. Somebody said, I think this is one of those times where if you saw it, you just let nature take its course. If the kitten jumped down to the beams, maybe it could have jumped back up. The presence of any stranger probably sealed the kitten's doom.
I suppose that's possible.
I agree with that. Because all you did was scare the kitten into the water.
Right.
The chance it had was to finally figure out to go back up.
Yeah, figure out the path of safety.
So I don't know. Somebody else said they called the non-emergency line once for a kitten in a tree or something, or a cat in a tree. And they were like, yeah, we don't do that. And they hung up on.
Okay. So who did you call?
I don't know.
Ghostbusters?
Animal control or something?
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Wish I had good COVID news, but I don't really. Cases on the rise in 40 states. The percentage of positive tests are up in 36 states. Over 50,000 cases yesterday in the United States, which has doubled over the last 30 days.
A new record for us.
A new study reveals there is a new form of the coronavirus that has spread from Europe to the United States. And it's interesting to note that the new mutation is more infectious, but it does not make people more sick. So that's actually good news.
Isn't that what Suk brought up? The Italian doctor said that all of a sudden COVID changed?
It does seem like that.
Okay.
And they're also saying with this study, and this is a global study, it said that the new mutation has almost completely replaced the old one.
Okay.
And people are not getting as sick, but it is more infectious. So all in all, that's actually pretty decent news because people are not getting as sick.
I guess the only fear I have of that is, so if it mutated once and changed, what if it mutates again and then gets worse? Hopefully, I guess we have a vaccine before that happens again, but... That's the only, you know, if you're looking for any sort of fear from it, that would be my fear. But that's still great news.
New case numbers in Oregon today, 375. That's high. That shatters our one day high.
Yeah, although now, I saw 88 of them were once again out in Eastern Oregon.
Oh, were they?
Yeah. Umatilla or Umatilla, however you pronounce it, at 88 cases. What is going on out there?
Well, they're, you know, doing their thing.
Are they intentionally spreading it? Community or herd immunity? Community
well,
spread?
Again, it's like anywhere you go, the way this thing is going, if you're indoors around a lot of people for an extended period of time, all it takes is one person and then a lot of those people have it. You know, so it's kind of a random thing. It's kind of hard to know when you're going to be, like we talked about the other day, a super spreader, or when you're asymptomatic and you're not really spreading it to a lot of people. So here's the thing, though. This is the last story I want to get in, and we'll move on to the Hot 5 at 5. And this is from a infectious disease expert who is screaming from the mountaintops that we have been wrong about the data from day one, and we are still reporting the data incorrectly.
Okay.
So let me lay this out.
Okay. Already he skeptical says, that it's only one person, but...
Well, but think about it. Just hear him out. Okay, so he says, we got it wrong, and now we're largely tracking it wrong. Did you know the new cases in daily reports are actually old infections newly reported? Most of what is reported is old news and not indicative of what is happening or how we are trending. We must look at date of onset to do accurate trend analysis, but the CDC stopped reporting onset data in April. Using our own data from the CDC, we can see that while 45,000 cases were reported on March 23rd, in reality, we already had 140,000 positive tests that had yet to be reported, which is date of onset. And now we know testing only captures 5 to 10% of actual infections. This is based on multiple studies. This means that at least several million were already infected by March 23rd. Does that make sense? Do you follow all that?
I follow it, but that's also insane to me.
And those people were never tested.
Right.
So the CDC is now combining antibody tests and the PCR test. Two different tests, right? The PCR test shows you if you have it.
Currently.
The antibody test shows you if you have had it. Well, they're combining those tests, so the new cases could be some of the millions of cases from 4 months ago. Right? You don't know.
Question. The CDC is doing that, but are the states that are reporting their numbers doing that?
Good question.
Because this, I mean, like, Oregon, the Oregon Health Authority is reporting our numbers, not the CDC. Right?
Right. Hard to know.
Okay.
Or maybe they all get their numbers from the CDC. I don't know. Nobody knows any of this. It's like just numbers, right? It's like, oh, okay. And we all just like, all right. 375. Is that number accurate? We have no idea.
Well, we know none of the numbers are accurate because not everyone's getting tested. Not all the tests are working perfectly and, you know, et cetera.
All right. So here's the key. And then I'll wrap it up.
It's just a basis of knowledge.
Per Nate Silver, a world-renowned statistician.
Who totally got the election right last time.
The average person might as well ignore the cases being reported. It's apples and oranges. We are suffering from data illiteracy in this country, from the institutions capturing it, like the CDC, to the politicians making decisions from it, to the media reporting on it, all the way down to the public consuming it. Think of it this way. Okay, this is the key. The CDC now believes that 10% of the United States has already been infected. That is about 32 million people, okay? So if we tested everyone with antibody tests, we would have 30 million new cases added to the report. Clearly, we would not have had 30 million new infections in one day.
Right.
But our main sources of news, that is how they're reporting these cases. It is incorrect.
Okay.
If your state and city is using this data rather than date of onset or hospitalization data is what it is.
Yeah.
That's very clear. Then they don't understand how to use the data. I think that is a great point.
But we don't know what states are using it and not using it then, right?
Well, they're all reporting it the same way, I think is their point.
Okay.
So new cases is not new cases.
Okay, so again, to use Oregon as the example, you said what, 375 cases today? Is that what you said, 345, whatever the number is?
Uh-huh. 375.
Is that including antibody tests that came back positive?
According to somebody who just texted in, Multnomah County Health Services, they are following CDC numbers. And that means, yes, it's both.
That's frustrating.
So we have no idea. Like, so many more people have this than than is being reported. So when we hear 375, what does that even mean?
I guess nothing. I guess it means nothing. If that's to be believed, it means, well, some people tested positive for the antibodies, so they don't have it anymore, but they're going to be put in the number anyway.
Hey, the point is, we have screwed this up on a lot of levels.
Boy, oh boy, have we.
All right, that's in the news, July 2, 2020. Coming up next, the Hot 5 at 5. Let's check what's in the Hot 5 at 5. Let me give you a little tease. What Rob Manfred said that has everybody up in arms. I'll give you a PGA Tour update. Oh, and a major college football program placed on probation. Next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.